Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 432 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm Rachel Herron, here today with Inés Johnson, who is incredible, for another bonus special episode about getting unstuck. Before we jump into this joyous, incredible, inspiring interview, I realize I haven't really done a what's going on around here kind of update because I've been putting out so many of these little podcasts. What is going on around here? 300 backers over a Kickstarter. I've forgotten the amount. Isn't that amazing? I think it's like $15,514, which is incredible. That's going on. Oh, it makes my head dizzy when I think about it. I haven't even looked in really to see who the backers are or what they're backing at, because it's such a happy source of stress that I just want to lie down on the floor and gasp like a fish when I think about that. So, and that's the way I do happy things. That's the way I roll. I really love thinking about this, but not so much looking into the details, into the fine print, because it makes me too happy and I get a headache. That is the God's truth. Speaking of headaches, I have fought a few, and a couple of them may have been coming from a particular place. You know me, I have one of those bodies and it's weird and it does strange things. And, nobody pays attention, least of all myself, when I say things like, I'm feeling dizzy. Oh, gosh, I'm feeling, got a headache coming on. Oh, wow, I feel a little nauseated. It's just the way my body does things. I don't think about it. It doesn't bother me too much. I complain like an old steam train, but I do it quietly, and I don't bother anybody, not even myself most of the time. But then Lala said, oh, that's weird. I felt dizzy yesterday. And then she felt dizzy again. And we thought, let's get this checked out. We have, I don't know, one of the 10 gas furnaces for central heating in New Zealand. There's probably more than 10, but not many. 95% of homes in New Zealand do not have central heating, even though it freezes here and insulation is not good. Houses are cold. Houses are very cold here. And we're in autumn. But we had never got the furnace checked since we'd moved into the house. And I'd noticed a few days before I started to feel funny that we had just started using it in the morning as autumn is setting in here. And I like the house to be above 55 degrees Fahrenheit. And I'd noticed it was running rough. I could hear it under the house and usually can't hear it under the house. So we thought, oh, maybe need something checked. Might as well call somebody in. No, it had cracked. It had cracked along the top and was just leaking gas. The young man who came out to service it was visibly shaken. I saw him in the driveway pacing, talking to his boss, and then he came in and said, I've got to cap it. I've got to turn off the gas. And we're like, yeah, of course you do. Thank you. I think he thought we were going to get mad at him. No, please save our lives. We appreciate it. Junebug had been acting really weird, barking all the time. She barks sometimes, but not very much. And in fact, in these days, in this about week where all these weird things were happening, Lala had come to check on me in my office because she said Junebug had been doing a Timmy's in the Well kind of Lassie thing. She'd come to check on me in case Junebug was saying there's something wrong with Rachel, because that's what it felt like to her. Isn't that scary? Yes, we have a CO monitor. No, we didn't have it up on the wall, but I did put it up before the fella came out because we had to wait a few days for him to come out. And it never beeped or anything like that. So it was probably just like a low level leak, which could just make you feel nauseated and headachey and dizzy. And apparently you can make the dog be upset. So we have no heat, but it's been okay. I'm bundled up and we're going to be replacing the furnace soon with a nice heat pump ducted system. Ducted system, man. They do not exist. I've never met one person in New Zealand who has a ducted central heating system. People just use 35% of New Zealanders only use a wood stove. And the rest use, like, you know, standing heaters or the heat pumps that go in the wall and blow out either hot or cold air. They're very, very low energy. So we're excited to get that. But I'm also excited to not have all died. That was really a perk of this last week. And yeah, so what else has been going on? I think that's probably about it. My sister returns from her travels. She's been gone for a month traveling the South Island, and she returns today, and I can't wait to see her. And there are 6 days left in the Kickstarter, and I'm just so overjoyed about these podcast interviews. They are a perk for myself and hopefully for you that I never saw coming. I did not plan to do episodes on getting unstuck. It was not in my plans until the day before I started doing them. Literally, the Kickstarter had already launched. Had it launched? Maybe it was a day or two away from launch when I invited a whole whack of people to come on the show if they wanted to. And it has given so much joy and inspiration to me. And I hope it has done that for you too. So please, let's jump into this incredible interview with Ines. If you have never heard her, you are in for a treat. If you have heard her, you know what's coming. And this is just the best. So I'm so glad you all are here. Thank you for being here. And here we go. I could not be more pleased to have on the show today you. Will you please share your name and pronouns with us?
Hi everybody, I'm Ines. I write kissing books and my pronouns are she and her.
Ines, it's so good to see you. Here's a little bio. Lover of fairy tales, folklore, and mythology, Ines Johnson spends her days reimagining the stories of old in a modern world. She also writes sweet Western romances under the pen name Shanae Johnson. Aside from being a writer, professional reader, and teacher, Ines is a very bad Buddhist. She sits in Sangha every week, and while others are meditating and getting their Zen on, she's contemplating how to use the teachings to strengthen her plots and character motivations. Ines lives outside Washington, D.C., with her two sidekicks who are growing up way too fast. I absolutely identify with this so much. My meditation this morning was 100% about sourdough. 100%. Just thinking about like the percentages I wanted to try. I'm always the last. If I get on a trend, it's dead. Sourdough is dead because I'm on it now. Welcome, Ines. We have not talked in forever. I cannot remember where you were on the
Ever.
show. I meant to see when you were on the show, and I can't remember, but people will fall in love with you and should go back and find that if you have not already heard Ines somewhere else. But I'm so excited to talk to you about this particular topic about getting unstuck. And here's why. You are an incredible thinker. Where is you? You know your Clifton strengths. Where's your intellection?
It is number three.
Okay, see.
If you would ask me another one.
Intellection is the one that makes us think a lot. And what you do is you think about your process and then you optimize. You're so good at doing that kind of thing. And it can be both easier and harder for people like that when we look down and see that we've gotten exactly where we wanted and we feel stuck about it. Can you tell us about a time that this happened to you and what did you do?
It's so funny that you bring up intellection because, and it's so funny that you bring up the first time that we talked because it's the same thing that we talked about then. When we talked, I was struggling because I knew I wanted to. I'm a teacher. I've just gotten that.
Yep.
I've accepted that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a storyteller, but in addition, I am a teacher. And I, whenever I'm teaching, I'm telling you stories and trying to get you to understand a process by giving you a story because a process
Yeah.
is a story. And when we talked, I didn't realize that I was in burnout. The only time that I've ever been burnout is with teaching, because I love teaching. But there came a time when the student body at the school that I worked at was not intellectually curious. They just wanted the answer. And that's very difficult for me. So I didn't realize that that's what was going on at the time, but I wanted out and I didn't know how to get out. And then the school closed down.
The look of wicked delight that just went across your face.
I went by there a year ago and the building is gone. That's how closed down it was. It's gone.
I blame you.
But it wasn't that I wanted out of teaching. I wanted to talk to people who were curious again. So that's when I got stuck because I told myself, you don't want to be a teacher anymore. You don't want to deal with that stuff anymore. Nope. If anybody asks you, nope, don't say anything. And I didn't realize that that was really hurting me because I crave, like you said, I crave looking at something, picking it apart, and I then figuring out how it works, optimizing it to work the best way possible, and then I want to tell somebody. I wasn't telling anybody.
Where's your input? It's gotta
That's
be.
it. Oh, it's I think it's high. I'm number one discipline, achiever, intellect, and focused learner, and I can only remember my top
Okay,
five. They're written on the wall.
yeah. Okay, go on. Sorry. So optimize and tell someone.
So I needed to optimize and tell someone, and I wasn't like I said, I was not talking to people. But if you came at me at a conference and you caught me at the bar and you asked me something, I would unload on you. And so people, it was funny because people started to ask me to do more and more conferences and talk, and I started getting excited. I was like, I don't teach anymore. I'm retired, but I'll tell you. And sure, tell your friends. I'll tell them too. And so the way that I got so. This is how I got unstuck. And it was really an unraveling, Rachel.
Ooh,
More than
I
unstuck, it
love
was
that.
unraveling. Because if I felt like I was peeling layers back, like, and I also realized I only want to talk to romance authors. I don't really want to talk to anybody else.
Yes.
So I want to talk to
Yes.
people because we're curious. We're also artists. So I can tell you a process, and then you can take that process. And you can apply it to yourself, which I think is beautiful because it takes something that I figured out, maybe, or let's say I figured it out. And then
Yes.
you take it, it's almost like a game of phone. And then you take it and you expand it and you tell somebody else and they expand it. And then then it gets back to me. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And then we go again, which makes me stronger, it makes you stronger, and makes this industry that I love just stronger by us talking about it and building.
And I feel like we are always learning. I just love that example of this, that round robin game of telephone. I was once teaching at Seton Hill, and I laid just a truth bomb down, and I said, I can't remember where I got this, but Dr. Nicole Peeler, who's in the audience, who brought me to Seton Hill to speak, she raised her hand. She said, "That's mine," and it had made it so, all the way back in front of her own students. But we're always learning and relearning and relearning. And at the second that I forget what kind of mindset I need or what kind of tool I need somebody else to remind me. And you are so good at doing that. You're so good at sharing knowledge. And I love because you do this and you do the work. You are a hard-working writer. I just get so frustrated with it with the teachers who are teaching but not doing. Tell me, because your
That
face
was a
came alive.
fear of mine. It did. It came alive because that was a fear of mine. Because there's that old adage, those who can do, those who can't
Yes.
teach, right? And so
Terrifying.
I felt like, well, maybe I should not be teaching because if I start teaching, people are going to think, well, there must be something wrong with my business. And it's not. My business is thriving.
Your business does
But I was
great.
like, maybe I should be quiet. And I'm like, no, you have something to say. In my mornings are spent writing and my afternoons are spent doing coursework and explaining things to people. Like someone asked me literally a week ago, someone asked me, they said they were writing at the hidden identity trope. And they were like, I'm trying to figure out the trope, what are the beats of the trope? Because I love to talk about the beats of the trope. And I
Yeah.
was like, oh yeah, it's when someone has a hidden identity, they're living in their false identity, and the love interest falls in love with their true essence. And they just stopped and looked at me, and I was like, that's not clear to anybody else. But not only that, then the next day I sat down and I was like, I see this clearly. I'm gonna write it out for this person. By the time I looked up, I'd written 20 pages explaining why this trope was, what all the plot points they needed to have, why readers would resonate with it. I told them what I thought the universal fantasies were. I had this thing where so you have your universal fantasy, right, which is the why readers love the trope. But then I like to talk about the proof of it, and that proof is those heartbeat moments that you see as the micro tropes on TikTok. It's like when he is leaning
Oh,
over
yeah.
her and he's looking at her and he sees who she truly is. Stuff like that. I was like, then you need to have those heartbeat moments of the proof. And then I wrote those down. And I was like, here you go.
For people who are at this moment dying to get their hands on that, is that going to be out somewhere? Like, where can they learn this stuff from you? Let's move this into.
I realized that should be a class because
It
then I did
should
that,
be.
and then I did the same thing for The Marriage of Convenience, which is my favorite trope. I could talk to you about that for days. I did the same thing. I sat down and I wrote down everything that I knew about it, including what a generic outline would look like, what the universal fantasies are, what the beats look like, why people would love it. I gave examples of movies. 20 pages. I was like, I keep doing this. This is so much fun. So
We
yes,
would like to give you money for this.
So I'm developing the Romance Write Club. I'm hoping to launch it in May, and I want to do a trope a
Fabulous.
month because again, people talk about, oh, romance is so formulaic, and I'm like, Anne, are you trying to diss us? This, of course it is. Our readers have told us exactly what they want, and all we need to do is give it to them. And because we are artists, we innovate naturally. So we're still following a pattern, and sometimes we'll zig, but we come back to that pattern just to kind of give them like kind of moment. But you go right back to the pattern. Someone was telling me today, they were like, with romance, the people who don't get it, the people who think, oh, romance is easy because it's so formulaic, I'll come
Oh,
in
my
here and
Lord.
what they do often is romance readers want chocolate. And they're like, here's some beef jerky. And they're surprised that it doesn't work. They're like, but this will work better for you. This, you should want this. And I'm wondering, part of me is wondering, is it because romance readers are like 80% women?
Yes.
Like women are saying, this
Yes.
is what I want. Can you please give me what I want? And the people who are like, nah, I know better than you. Yeah, boo. Okay. Okay.
And it's always those people that think that the readers are not that smart and the writers are not that smart. And we have to keep saying out loud very clearly, romance is, I've written now, I'm in six genres. Romance is by far the hardest. By far. Once you nail romance, well, who nails anything? But once you feel like you have a better concept of nailing a genre, if you can nail romance, you can do, and that's what I feel like. It was the best. I learned how to, I'm jumping all over my words, but I learned how to drive on an old Suzuki Jeep-like thing in the islands. And you had to kick it with your foot to go into reverse and up driving up and down these coral roads. And I know that my dad would always say, if you can drive here, you can drive anywhere. And I can't. And that's like romance. If you're trying to keep two incredible people apart who actually belong together for organic, not dumb reasons, that's so hard. Please give me any other genre. I don't write romance anymore because it was so difficult. Like, have some respect. Anyway, that tangent aside, I would love to know where we can find you and where we can sign up to know about these things, like when this next class drops.
So the perfect thing, I write a free weekly newsletter. So if you go to nestwrites.com/romance map, I wrote a 15-page kind of manifesto on the five necessary scenes of every romance, and I just give it away because I just kept talking about it. And I was like, here, you can have it. Here, you can have it. And so that's that if you get on that newsletter, because along with the map, you also get on a newsletter where I'm talking about things like, I love goal setting. So I'm talking about things like goal setting on there. I come from
Yes.
television. So I'm constantly talking about the things that I learned in TV that I'm using in television, like the difference between a prologue and a teaser, and how a TV teaser might work better for you than doing a prologue, and things like that. So if you get on that newsletter, you'll see that. And that's where I announce all of my new classes. And that will very soon be one of them. I'm going to do Trope a Month. I'm really
Yay.
excited about it.
Yay. I don't know how I'm not on that list, and I'm going to go join immediately because I must be on this. Thank you for talking us through you getting unstuck. I just loved seeing your whole being radiate as you found your way out to teaching what you love to people who are passionate about
Yeah, I
learning
need the
it.
passion.
Yes. Ines, you do the community such a huge amount of good. And I'm just going to encourage people, just sometimes this is what I do. I'll put in Ines Johnson into my podcast catcher and I'll just go track you around. Like the show that you did with Sasha, the most recent show with Sasha was like mind blowing. And I was driving through the countryside and while you were talking, I'm like, I'm going to write two books a month. And I, you know, that's just, You have that effect on people. You
Wow. Okay.
make
Thank
us believe we could
you.
do anything. So
Yay.
thank you, Ines. You're the best.
You're the best.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as $1 a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.